Hi, everyone. This is Dave Charest, Content Manager here at Constant Contact, and welcome to another episode of the Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. I'm once again joined by a lovely room full of colleagues. Who else is here? Stephen Russell.
Yep, Senior Communications Specialist here at Constant Contact.
My name is Dave Gerhardt. Thank you very much. I work on the product marketing team here at Constant Contact.
I'm Danielle Cormier, and I'm a social media specialist here.
I'm Erica Ayotte. I'm a social media manager.
I'm Kristen Cardis. I'm a social media specialist.
I'm Ryan Pinkham. I'm a content developer.
And you heard from Josh Mendelson, who's with us as well. Today, this is part two of our conversation regarding Future REM Conference in Boston, which is a marketing conference that basically spent 5 days talking about the planning, debating, and celebrating the future of marketing. If you haven't listened to part one, please do. We'll include a link down below. But today we're going to do part two of the discussion, and we're going to start with Mr. Dave Gerhardt, who's going to tell us his one takeaway from the week's events.
I actually have four.
Whoa! So we're going to start with
one. I'll make them really short. You guys will be the ones that will talk about them for a while. So
All right.
I know we talk a lot a bit about like engagement and how that's the key, but I actually heard somebody at FutureM break it down really simply, and he said there's four things that you should do every time to get people to engage with you, because you always want to be delivering some type of value. And these four things are status. So this applies for email, social, website, whatever you're working on, right? Mm-hmm. So status, Foursquare does this with badges, you know, even something stupid like a mayorship. LinkedIn does it with their 500 plus connections. Those are things that everybody wants to achieve. Mm-hmm. Value, you can get a coupon or a deal or maybe give an iPhone giveaway. Scarcity, you know, when you kind of instill that scarcity, you know, this last 10 or we're running out, you know, only 500 we're selling. And then the last one is exclusivity, so something rare, you know, like us, only fans get this. So I think when you think about those four things, if you can just kind of pin those up somewhere, you know, on a board, and you just think about those things every time before you send out a marketing communication, I think that'll help.
Can we repeat those four things again?
Yeah, so status, value, scarcity, and exclusivity. So any combination of using any one of those things is going to help to drive engagement.
So I think that's actually pretty a cool kind of rule of thumb to kind of look at, or just like a checklist to look at when you're doing something like that.
And like value, you know, we talk about value, right? It doesn't have to be a coupon. It doesn't have to be an iPhone giveaway. It could be value in a newsletter in the form of great content.
Yep. Value is in the eye of the beholder.
Right.
Which leads us to understanding who your audience is and what they value, right? So do we have any examples of like maybe each of those being used or...
Yeah, so
or maybe used all together.
I think, you know, like
when all together, that would be.
Well,
like,
when you think of,
well, I mean, you can.
When
I mean,
you think of status, right? Like you see businesses run these promotions all the time. You know, buy this net, like you know, buy this, and you could be the 500th customer. Like, what does that really mean? What do you care deep down about being the 500th customer?
Yeah.
But sometimes it just always works, though, right? It promotes that kind of like you're like, I want that. You know, what does that mean? Are you going to tell people about that? No, but it always works. You know, as far as for value, a good one is. Take a company like Boloco. They're running a promotion where their 30,000th customer is going to win an iPhone 5.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of knocking out you know, status and value. They're going to be the 30,000th customer, and they get an iPhone.
But value doesn't always have to be monetary,
right?
Yeah, I think tips or information or facts or to show that you have knowledge shows that you have something of value.
And that's something we talk about a lot, especially with our, you know, email. Whether you're if you're a bakery, right, you're not going to just send out a newsletter that's here's what I'm selling, you should buy it. Here's what I'm selling, you should buy it. It's providing value of here's how I make my special, you know, blueberry muffins, and here's how you can make them at home. That's delivering value to that person in a non-monetary way.
I think I would add a fifth one, emotional response, something that's a sad story or wrenches on your heart or makes you
maybe
laugh.
Maybe a happy story.
Yeah.
Entertainment.
I think something
that
connects,
that.
Right, is
yeah.
really the big thing.
That's why our customers that run like pet shelters or that stuff like that, puppies and kittens always go around. It's that emotional.
So the real lesson here is
especially
get into the puppy and kitten business. Yeah.
Another one, if we wanted to just make this the longest list ever, but... No, but I think there's never a shortage, right? Because then you can kind of sit down and you can say, I got to do at least one of those things. Here's 10 things I can pick from. Another one is, you know, you guys do this really well with our social media channels, is make it about them, right? Everybody likes to show that off. So you can profile a customer, or you can, you know, just talk about them in some way. That's something that if you profiled me as a customer, I'm going to share that out to all my friends and say, hey, look, here's what Constant Contact did.
Mm-hmm. I think so, even more about making it about them is asking your customers for one of the biggest things that we do here with our own social media presence, and Danielle can really speak to that, is really asking our fans to put some skin in the game when it comes to, you know, getting them to respond to us.
Yeah, it makes it feel like more of a community. Share your knowledge, or this is a place where small businesses can come together to give tips and receive them as well from people just like them.
And it doesn't just apply to your social media channels and your newsletter. I think it even applies to the products and services that you offer, right? Make it about them. You know, we just released this based on your feedback, or we're adding this new sandwich to the menu because we heard that you guys want it. That's something that's going to get people to feel that this business is really about them.
I think that's a really important point, that it's the entire customer experience. It's, you know, when you think about your business, you may think of your email newsletter as separate from your in-store experience, as separate from your social media experience. But really, at the end of the day, it's all one. The impression of your brand, the impression of your company is about a collection of all of these things together. So making sure that that's holistic and that each point along the way, each touch point with your customer really speaks to what your company is about and what your mission is and how you want to be portrayed, will just strengthen that in the mind of your customers.
And, you know, as marketers, we don't care where people do it, right? We don't care whether it's email or social media or in-store or web. We just want them to take that action.
Right. I almost think of it too, you know, everyone's bringing up really good points, and I'm not going to add another one, but I might like have an umbrella above. Exactly.
Yeah. If you're taking like notes at home, flip to page 7.
Yeah. But I almost kind of think about these points, and I almost feel like there's one sort of maybe wrapper around all of them, is the topic of loyalty. You know, it's all about not just consumers being loyal to a brand, but a brand being loyal to their, you know, to their customers, you know, and especially in the case of a small business, they have such a great opportunity to be really loyal to their customers because they can listen to those individual opinions, those voices, and kind of, as you were talking about, make adjustments and things like that. So I kind of look at all these different topics as that umbrella of loyalty, you know, and really creating the best experience for your customers.
Yeah, I think Erica touched on sort of creating a community too, and I think it's not enough to just ask for your customers or your followers or your fans to contribute something sort of personal from them. I think you also have to, you know, be willing to show a little bit of what's going on behind the curtain, right? And I think that's something that we all strongly believe in, is, you know, letting people see the people who work here, right? And really, really having a personal connection, not just a business to consumer connection, but a person to person connection.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Mr. Pinkham.
Yes.
Your one takeaway, or
my
several.
Or seven. I don't have a list. I wish I did. But, you know.
Actually, before you get started,
all right.
Ryan does have a list. We have a bunch of posts from Ryan on the blog that we're going to link to in these podcasts, because there's a lot of great information about what happened during the Future Room conference. So,
is about the idea of relationships. And that was one of my biggest takeaways, is that, you know, no matter what people were talking about, whether it's mobile or social or, you know, any of these new changes that might be coming in the future, relationships are still just the most important thing for any business, no matter how big or small they are. Mm-hmm. You know, everything that was talked about was, and things we've talked about today, have been about kind of tying in all of your marketing efforts to build those relationships with your customers, like we talked about with loyalty. You know, so in the content you're creating, like we were just talking about, it's important to make it about the customer, not about you. You know, we talk about all the time about not trying to just sell in everything you do. And so many of the things you talked about at the conference, you know, going across, talking about all the conferences on social media, and they wouldn't even mention the specific channels. They would just talk about the idea of building relationships through those channels. And I think it's important to look past, you know, what networks are on, or what, you know, if you're using email marketing, get right down to the fact that you're trying to build relationships with your customers.
So it's not necessarily about the technology, it's about how you use that technology to
do it. Yeah, and I mean, the technology is going to present new opportunities to do it for you, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to take advantage of all these things. You know, you don't need to be on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+. You know, you don't have to be everywhere that everyone is. If you just take the time to focus on, okay, where are your customers and what can you do on those channels to build those relationships?
Mm-hmm. And that's a really good point. And there was a quote, actually, when I went to Futurum, and one of the things I said was everything But being nice to people and building relationships have changed in marketing in the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's true, right? The true underlying traditional 101 of marketing is building relationships and knowing your audience.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, we had this list of things that you need to do, but it all surrounds around those two
mm-hmm.
things.
Yeah, and just a Facebook like or a follow on Twitter isn't a relationship. That's
right.
the starting
right.
point. That's the, hi, this is my channel. But you have to build that relationship within the channel and by being engaging and by doing the four things that Dave mentioned earlier.
Or the eight.
Or the 17 million things
Sorry.
That you need
next
to
time
do.
I'll give less good advice.
Yeah. There'll be a next time. Anyway.
Well, after this podcast goes viral, I think you're going to
want it. Oh, all right, great. You know, but speaking of relationships, and I think this is really the thing that I think small businesses kind of forget, like there's an intimidation factor with the new technology, right? But I think what's really great as we talk about relationships is that this is where small businesses really have a huge advantage, right? And this is where I think that small businesses can just really crush it, right? Because, like, you look at, like, the big brands, and a lot of times people spend their time talking about what they're doing and those things, but a lot of times they don't have that relationship that you have with your customers as a small business. And all you're really doing is transferring that one-on-one face-to-face interaction to a different medium, which is online, where you're really having those same conversations. You're just doing it in kind of like a public manner,
right.
where there's just a huge... It's just like a huge bonus, I think, for small businesses to be able to do that, because that's what makes the small business special, and that's what makes, you know, me want to go to a small business restaurant as opposed to a chain, or
right.
go shop at a place because we have these conversations. Now, think if, you know, you can translate that to online, where it's like, oh, yeah, we're having this conversation online. It's like you deepen those relationships. It's just it's a way for you to kind of take that and stay in the forefront of people's minds, really.
I mean, I've even heard people say, you know, I know this person, they treat me really well, I'm willing
that's
to,
why I'm,
I'm
yeah.
willing to spend more money
exactly.
to be with these people because
yep.
they treat me well. Big businesses cannot do that, and so it really is a
and
huge
I think that's,
advantage.
That's one of the reasons that you see with a lot of large retailers or franchise organizations where they will start to have a local presence. I think it's really hard to release that control for a lot of
yeah.
corporate entities,
mm-hmm.
But having that local presence, even if it's, you know, your local TGI Fridays or whatever it is, like creating like that local connection where you might actually see the person you're talking to, there's incredible value to that. Whereas someone who's at corporate, wherever that might be, even the image of that person is so far removed from the customer to a customer, that having that local touch point, even if it's online, is really powerful.
Well, I think it goes back to what Dave was talking about when it comes to status and exclusivity, meaning that, you know, today folks, you know, can use the internet in any way that they can to find whatever they want. People, there are a surfeit of options. So,
big word.
Wow.
I was an English major.
Is it
you know, there's so many options for folks, and they could be small businesses, they could be large businesses, and so people are going to go to the places that treat them the best,
mm-hmm.
where they have the best experiences.
The wow experience.
The wow experience. Right,
yeah.
No, and it's
sure.
absolutely true. And those are the experiences that are going to stick out in people's minds. And, you know, using these tools, you know, using your marketing effectively helps you stay. If you have that great experience already, it's going to help you stay top of mind with folks. So they remember, like, oh, you know, that's the restaurant
mm-hmm.
I want to go to, or that's the bakery I want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell a story?
Oh,
no.
Was
it last night's story?
Well, no.
Because I was just going to say that. That was a really good one.
Well, I'm a big storyteller. I like to tell stories. And
gather around, children.
About, sit down. Take a seat. You know, what you were just talking about is exactly the type of experience I just had. So there's this small like pizza joint in
yep.
Watertown. It's called the W.
Mm-hmm.
And I go there all the time. Yeah, I was the mayor, so that ties back into your status. And I really am proud of that.
I gave
and,
you that, but somehow you all keep relating to
that. And so I always get kind of the same thing when I go in there. I get a buffalo chicken sub and I get a steak and cheese sub with
mm-hmm.
peppers.
Wait, you
onions.
Eat both of them at once?
It depends on my mood, but yes, usually. typically, yes.
Yes, one of
exactly. Best of both worlds.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
fantastic.
Further evidence I do not understand both.
So I go into the W last weekend, and the owner's there, and he says, you know, you always get the buffalo chicken sub. You know, have you ever tried our thin crust buffalo chicken pizza?
Mm.
And, like, you know, I just thought that was really cool right off the bat because, A, he knew what my order was. And also, on top of that, he waited until I showed up to put my peppers and onions on the grill because he wanted to make sure that they were, like, fresh and everything. Mm-hmm. So it kind of really tied into what you were talking about, how, like, I go in there, I have this really, really cool offline interaction. And, yeah, by the way, I did buy that buffalo chicken pizza. So, I mean, like, it worked right there for him. You know, it made me feel really good about, you know, continuing to go back to the W because they made me feel not just like another customer walking through the door. I mean, I felt like I was Steven in their restaurant. You know, it was great. Yeah.
So that actually goes back to something else that I learned at Future M, because they basically recognized you as like a super special customer. You were really perhaps influential, a really influential customer for them. And I was on at Future M, I was on this panel about measuring influence.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that that we talked about was, when you're measuring influence, is it actually influence, or are you really talking about reach? Because there's a lot of buzzwords about, oh, let's reach influencers, and let's, you know, let's have an influencer program. And I don't think a lot of businesses really understand exactly what that means. And there's been a lot of talk about different influence measurement tools. Clout is probably the best known. And I think that, you know, there are ups and downs to that as well. I mean, it's hard to put a number on influence, especially because those tools only measure, you know, say, online influence versus offline influence. But I think the way of the future is, you know, as these tools get a little bit better, a little bit more contextual, that these sort of scores and online influence is going to play a much bigger role in marketing. As we go forward, it's going to help people, help businesses identify who are potentially those all-star customers, like, you know, like Stephen was talking about with the W, and how to service those people better. Whether that's, you know, whether you can sum everything up in a score, I think is dubious. But I think as these tools get better, we're going to see more of that.
Yeah. On a practical level, I'd just like to say that, you know, if you think about it, everyone has a circle of influence, right?
Of course. Yeah.
Everyone's connected to. So it's like, you know, just for, like, in terms of small businesses, when you think of, you know, Stephen's sharing his story with us right now. A couple of weeks back, I shared the story of going into a place that they were like, oh, we'll make the rice pudding for you. Like, it's like those types of things. Like, yeah, we're talking about it. Like, we're spreading the word about it because there's stuff that is, like, special. It's like, it makes you feel good to know that, I don't know, it's just that relationship between people. It's just like, wow, that's really cool. Like, you know, and that wouldn't happen at, like, a chain restaurant or something like that, because they wouldn't have the power, I'm using air quotes, the, you know, to do that.
Podcasting is a very visual.
Yes, yes. So stay tuned for the video option. It's just, I think it's important to realize that no matter, like, you know, when we talk about influence, there's the idea that you give people, like, a ranking.
Yeah.
And I think that's wrong. You should be treating everybody with the same respect that you would treat any other customer, just because,
yeah,
I know you're not saying that, and,
yeah,
and
no,
it's
no,
a
no.
different thing, but I just want to throw that in there because I feel like that's the important things, because everybody does who comes into your place is going to talk about you.
Right, but I think that on the, like, what Stephen was saying is that, you know, when you can recognize those customers who are very valuable to you, however you do that,
yeah,
treating those people with a little extra something, whatever that may be. Like.
Yeah.
And to your point, those tools are out there. They're just not quite yet ready for you to be able to gather all that data, like we were talking before.
Yeah.
You know, like Foursquare, you're out there, you're checking in, but I don't believe in the back end a business can go and see how many times somebody has checked in, except for, like, maybe one or two. You could probably see the mayor.
Yeah, right.
You know, and that's the kind of thing that would be very valuable, and that's a good, like, influencer without even looking at the numbers. These people have come in.
Yeah.
They have your picture. You can look at it and go, hey, I know you. You came in, you know.
Yep.
So,
right.
It's definitely there.
Cool. Danielle, what was your big takeaway?
My big takeaway was the point about now how the shift in marketing is not about what you say about your brand, but what your brand says about the customer. And this sort of relates to everything that we've been talking about in this podcast and in our last, that you can say whatever you want about what your brand is, but it should be about what it's saying about the person that's using it. So why would they care? Why do they want to share it? Does this show that this person is very giving because they support your nonprofit, or that they're funny because they buy your product or whatever it might be? I think that you need to focus more about what it can say about your the customer than just like corny marketing pitches that used to exist back in the day.
So by a customer associating themselves with your brand, like what does that, how does that reflect upon them?
Yeah, because they're building their personal profiles, and that's what they're doing by sharing your posts on social media. And they're not just sharing it because they want to, but they want to say something about themselves.
It's very interesting. There's a copywriter, Bob Bly, is his name, and he has a formula called BFD, Beliefs, Feelings, and Desires, which basically means, you know, what does your audience believe in? What do they feel? And what do they desire to become? And I think there's a couple of ways kind of really going about that, right? When you think about how do you connect with those people, you need to understand those things. But also, from a small business standpoint, if you really understand what you believe and what you feel and what you desire, like, you're going to connect with people that feel those same things. And it's being not afraid to share those things that's really going to help you connect more with people and really kind of resonate with people more. Yeah.
There's been some stats about how putting a like button next to more embarrassing products that get way less likes than any other things. Things like, say, I don't know, constipation medicine or something. I don't know. Like, people aren't going to share that, of course, but maybe you can tap into, like, mothers who want to say, like, here's something that can help, like, kids. Or you want to just sort of tap into why someone would be passionate or willing to share info about your product.
Cool. Do you have anybody else want to add anything about Futurem in the final moments of this? I guess not. Well, thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the next Speakeasy Marketing Roundtable. Bye-bye now.